We all have different approaches to life, don't we? I have a friend who, when you have a coffee with him, it's kind of a mix between question time and university challenge. You know, he asks those deep philosophical questions. Myself, I tend to have probably a bit more of a pragmatic approach. So if there's a problem with our TV, as there was recently, you go onto Google and there's some 14-year-old Filipino lad who will have figured out how to solve the problem. And you think, I really am old, aren't I? I don't know what your approach to life is. Mine is one that's very practical. It's kind of, okay, tell me how to do it, and I'll do it. Even better, show me how to do it, and I'll do it. And through this series on the Lord's Prayer, we've tried to take a very practical approach, a very pragmatic approach, because it's very familiar language to us, isn't it? If you have your Bible, let's turn to Matthew 6. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I find it a quite a flowing, readable version that's accurate. So I'm reading from Matthew 6, verse 9. Very familiar words to many of us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, I'm picking up. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And some versions go on to say, for yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. And as we've kind of begun this series, there's kind of been four components that we've looked at. Jordan started with us a few weeks ago, looking at this idea of our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we kind of took it from the angle of adoration, that our starting point in prayer isn't a shopping list, that we actually come and recognize God's worth. And out of that, we adore him. As we sung this morning, he's worthy of every song that we could ever sing. He's worthy of our praise. This leads us on to the idea of daily bread and petition. And Jesus says, I know you have need of daily bread. It's right that you pray for yourself. It's right that you pray for your family. It's right that you pray for your needs. Third element is when we pray for others, your kingdom come. And Steve looked at that last week, what it means for us to have your kingdom come. And certainly part of that is beyond ourselves. It's in the community of faith of which we're a part. That God's kingdom will come for us as a church, but also much larger than that, that the kingdoms of this world become his kingdom, and all things one day will be put under his foot. But until then, we pray for more of his kingdom to come in. And Jesus very clearly, in places like Matthew 4:23, talked about what his kingdom meant. He said, preaching, teaching, and healing. That was the declaration and the demonstration of the kingdom of God through the ministry of Jesus. So that's part of what it means for your kingdom come. And today, we look at this idea of your will be done. And in the midweek studies, we're kind of wrestling with this idea of unanswered prayer, because we all have them, don't we? We all have things we've prayed and fasted for and believed God for, but God hasn't answered them in the way that we have thought. So we have to be honest about that, because Scripture is very honest. Jesus was very honest. And so we're going to take a very honest approach. But today, as I was praying and preparing, I felt I wanted to take a slightly different angle, because so often we think about your kingdom come, and we think about it on a personal level. What does that mean for us as an individual, for God's kingdom to come in? But I want to look at it more in a corporate sense. And as we've been doing the 21-day prayer and fasting, as we've been seeking God, I've been asking God for insight, I've been asking God for revelation, as many of you have. And I believe I have something from the heart of God that's for us as a congregation. So what does it mean for us as a church to do the will of God? Just pause for a moment. That's the question we're going to ask and try and answer today. What does it mean for us as a church to do the will of God? And I think the starting point, doing the will of God, requires insight into the season that we're in. We all know in life there's seasons, isn't there? We talk about it in youth. We talk about middle age. We talk about seniors. There are seasons of life. We know that in the physical dimension that there are seasons of life. And that's not part of the fall. It's part of God's created order. So in Genesis 8:22, God says that while the earth endures, there will be seed time and harvest. There will be summer and winter. We understand that there are times and seasons. And I think one of the frustrations that we have in our spiritual life is that we don't understand our seasons, because you can do the right thing in the wrong season and you're not going to get results, are you? You don't. Now, I'm a townie. Dan's a country boy. Dan's from the farm. He knows that you have to plant the right things at the right time in order to reap. We live in a second floor flat, so we don't have a garden. But Bev every year tries to plant something on the kind of Juliet balcony we have. We've tried all sorts of things, and some things have worked and some things haven't. And we always kind of think, what should we be planting at this time? What's the right time? And the interesting thing about that is, to reap in the next season, you have to plant in this season. To reap in the next season, you have to plant in this season. So I want to help you today in understanding that when you're frustrated in life, it may not be that you're out of the will of God. It may not be that you've done something wrong. It's that you're trying to do something in the wrong season of your life. So we need to understand the seasons. Scripture says in 1 Chronicles 12:32 that men of Issachar, they were men who understood the times. Some versions say who understood the times and seasons and knew what to do. Isn't that an incredible insight? Because they understood the times, because they understood the seasons, they knew what was an appropriate response for that season. Ecclesiastes 3, written by the wisest man, Solomon. And we know that it says, he makes everything beautiful in his time. There is a time to plant. There is a time to uproot. There is a time to harvest. There is a time to be born. There is a time to die. God has ordained seasons in our lives, in nature, as well as spiritually. And so I've been praying and asking God, okay, God, what's our season? And we'll come to that in a minute. But I want you to see from the life of Jesus that even Jesus understood times and seasons. Do you remember in John chapter 2? It's the wedding at Cana, and they'd run out of wine. And Mary comes to Jesus and said, Jesus, they've run out of wine. Remember what Jesus responds? And he basically says, why are you coming to me with this problem? My hour, or as we say in Northern Ireland, R, my R, it's not the letter R, my hour, those of you who wanted English, my hour or my time has not yet come. Now, Jesus wasn't being rude to Mary. He's basically saying, you're coming to me with a physical problem, to meet a physical need, but I'm here for a spiritual reason, and that was for the cross, the resurrection and the exaltation to the right hand of the Father. He says, there is a time, there is a purpose, there is a plan. Now, he was gracious enough to do the miracle. Isn't that amazing? But he actually starts off by saying to Mary, my hour has not yet come. And if you look at the Gospel of John, that's actually repeated a number of times through. We're just going to look at a couple. So if you have your Bible, just turn to John chapter 7 and verse 30. I want you to see this, that even Jesus understood that there were times and seasons in his life. John chapter 7 and verse 30. Then the leaders tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time or his hour had not yet come. Jesus knew the time. And God knew the time, and he couldn't be taken before his time. The scripture says that our times and seasons are in God's hands. You know that, don't you? They're not in the hands of the government. They're not in the hands of Brussels. Well, they're not anymore anyhow, are they? But maybe for a little while. But they're not in the hands of government, and they're not in the hands of other people. They're in the hands of God. John chapter 8, verse 20. Again, Jesus is teaching. They don't like the fact that he's proclaiming himself as the light of the world, that he's demonstrating he's the Messiah. In verse 20, Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury, but he was not arrested because his time or his hour had not yet come. Just one more for you. John 12. Let's pick up at verse 23. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But as death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name." See, Jesus lived with that understanding that there was a right time, there was an hour, there was a season that was right for him to go to the cross, to be resurrected, and to be raised from the dead. During the 21-day fast, I've been praying as you have and asking God, okay, what season is it for us as a church? What time is it for us? And I believe the Lord said that it's time for us as a church to plant. That's the season we're in. Not necessarily a time to build, but a time to plant. I think God's given me three messages on this. I'm not going to try and squash them. We're going to do it at the right time. I'm going to kind of introduce this concept today because I think it's an important one. But we're going to take time to unpack this. And I think for us as a church, it's time to plant. One of the things I do know with planting is one of the things that you have to do with planting is that you have to prepare. And one of the most important things is that you prepare the soil. Jesus talked a lot about the soil. And we kind of call it the parable of the sower, don't we? But it actually, if you read it in Matthew 13, it's the parable of the soil. Because Jesus goes on to explain that it was good seed. There was nothing wrong with the seed that the farmer was thrown, but there were four different conditions in which that seed was sown into. And depending on the conditions, depending on the environment, determined what the result was. And Jesus, the disciples are confused. Weren't they confused a lot of the time? They didn't always get it. And Jesus has to come and very clearly explain what the four different areas were. But the point he was making is the seed is good. It's the condition of the soil that makes the difference. And that soil is actually the condition of our hearts. That's what Jesus said. How we receive the seed of God's word. How we allow it to take root in our lives. You will know if you go through it, there's kind of four key areas. Some seed fell on the path and the birds ate it. Those people who didn't really understand it, they didn't grasp it, and so they don't live the life that they should because they kind of dismiss it. Some seed falls on the rocky ground, and that's for people who initially make a very enthusiastic commitment. And we've all had them and we've all seen them, haven't we? Every church has had people who've responded very well initially, but as soon as things get a little bit tough, as soon as they get a little bit of opposition, they're nowhere to be seen. Jesus said, this is going to happen. Nothing to do with the seed. It's the condition of the soil. Then there was some seed that fell among thorns, and grew up and choked. And Jesus comes and says, these are people who really maybe get caught in the things of this world. They get caught in materialism. They get caught in the cares of this life. And somehow they think, well, I can't serve God because that means I'm going to have to be honest in my business dealings. That means I'm going to have to live with integrity. That means I'm going to have to do things differently. And I can't run a business like that. Some people have said that. Others have said, well, the cares of life just seem to overwhelm me. And we all know people who, for some inexplicable reason, just get overwhelmed and walk away. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with the church. It's that the seed has fallen in that rocky ground and the cares of life have overwhelmed. It doesn't have to be that way if we deal honestly with God. And then the final one was the idea of the seed falling on good soil and the plants producing the corn. We'll unpack that a little bit more as we do the little three sets of teaching on what it means to plant. But here's something that again, that comes out of prayer for me. I think there's four key areas that the Lord wants us to sow into in this season, that He wants us to plant into. And here they are. Sorry, I missed a slide, obviously, on that. Let me just talk about them. Firstly, it's about sowing to the Spirit. Sowing to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Part of what it says in the wall is mobilizing for ministry through the Holy Spirit. You cannot negotiate with the Holy Spirit. You cannot kind of keep that containment and really do a successful Christian life. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need to understand that He has placed gifts within us, and the most effective way that we will grow is by using those gifts. Along with the gifts comes the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's the lovely balance that Scripture has. It's a singular fruit. It's not that we have to manage. See, fruit is just overflow life. You realize that? Fruit is just overflow life. A tree does not have to think about producing fruit if it's healthy. Fruit is overflow life. So you have to have the strong roots. There has to be nourishment. There has to be watering. That's how a tree produces fruit. Not because it tries, but because it's overflow life. And the fruit of the Spirit is the overflow of the fruit and the life of the Spirit. We also want to sow to the Spirit in our meetings that we have that freedom to the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the things for me that's non-negotiable. I'm relaxed in a lot of areas about church life. I don't stress about stuff. And certainly when I go on mission, the one thing I talk to people about is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm not so much interested in some of their aspects of theology. If they're born again and Bible believing, there's stuff we're going to disagree on. But in terms of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I can't compromise on that. Because that's where the power comes from. That's where the mobilizing for ministry comes from. That's what Jesus says to His disciples. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit to be mobilized for ministry. That's part of what it is. It's power for service. So we cannot afford to compromise on the work of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit. We need to sow to the Spirit. See, I meet many people, and what they say to me from different denominations and different backgrounds, and one of the things they'll say to me is, I'm open to the Holy Spirit. And what they mean is they're passively open to the Holy Spirit. And maybe if God does something, but I don't really believe it. But if God does something, then I'll believe it then. But actually, Scripture tells us that we have to pursue the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That we actually have to have a hunger and a thirst for those things. That we have to ask, seek, and knock. Remember what Luke 11 said a couple of weeks ago? If you, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, and knock and keep on knocking. So it's not enough to just say, oh, I'm passively open to it. If God wants to do it, he'll do it. Try that with your children when it comes to feeding them. Oh, if God wants to do it, he can magic a meal from nothing. Doesn't happen, does it? You have to make preparation. You have to be deliberate about that stuff. And as a church, I have to say to you, we have to be deliberate about pursuing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have to. We have to sow to the things of the Spirit. We have to sow to building and growing leaders. Next Saturday night, we start our Growing Leaders course. If any of you who've been on the Taster Sessions haven't signed up, today's the final day, really, to decide that. Because I believe in growing leadership. I believe in getting those right people in the right place and understanding what God wants to do through us. We have to sow into leadership. Everything rises or falls on leadership. Always. Everything rises or falls on leadership. So for the next year, we're investing in that group and leadership. For those of you who weren't able to sign up this year, then God willing, we'll do it again next year so you'll have an opportunity. It is a commitment. It's a commitment on our part. It's a commitment on the part of the leadership to sow into that. We have to sow into leadership and growth, and it is a commitment. We have to sow to the Spirit. We have to sow to leadership. We have to sow to children's and families ministry. We do. Because like every church in Crawley and throughout this land, they are staying away in their millions. They are. So it's not enough for us to sit here and say, yeah, come. You don't harvest by praying for a strong wind to blow in the wheat, do you? You go into the fields. So part of the vision is not only that we look after our own kids in Sunday school and those who come, but actually that we do stuff midweek that reaches those who don't. That we actually go out into the harvest field to harvest. And once Kerry's got our head round some stuff, we're going to be looking at how we do that and how we expand and how we develop. Because there is a harvest out there. There is. Because there are people who need hope. They need help. They need encouragement. They need good news. And it's up to us to get that message out there. It's part of our vision to proclaim the good news of new life in Christ. So that's part of the role of families and children's coordinator. So we're going to need your help as we do that, as we stretch into that. Are you up for that? Yeah. That's something we need to sow into as a church. It involves effort, because all harvesting does, all planting does. We're going to have to do that. We're going to have to sow to the Spirit. We're going to have to sow to leadership. We're going to have to sow to kids' ministry. Children's ministry. Can I encourage you? Some of you will know about revivals or have read on revivals around the world. One of the greatest revivals that happened was in Argentina. Have any of you read on the Argentinian revival? Do you know how it started? And do you know how it continued? Through children. Children were the catalyst for revival in Argentina. Children were doing prayer ministry and prophesying over national leaders and ministries. Children. Why not? Why not here? Why not our children prophesying? Why not our children laying hands on the sick and seeing healing? Why not? Because I tell you what, Jesus said, unless you become like little children, in that you're teachable and you're open and you're flexible. Why not? Why not our children praying for you and seeing healing? Why not our children praying for your neighbors? Why not? If it can happen in Argentina, why not in Crawley? Why not? But it's going to require us planting and sowing into that ministry. So let's be up for it. And the final thing, and something very close to my heart, you know, is sowing into a whole area of mission. That's what we believe. That's why it is costly financially. It's costly personally. It's costly in terms of lack of physical sleep at times. one of my trips to Pakistan, I had an average of 3 hours sleep a night. Some of the ministry, we finished praying for the sick at 1:30 in the morning. And then they give me a three-course dinner at 2:30. Oh, I'll tell you what, grace of God. But I believe it's right for us as a church to sow into mission. That's why we aim to take a team to Macedonia in June, first week of June. I know some of you have started a little piggy bank for missions. Huh? Begin to sow into it, begin to bless it, begin to do stuff. Do you know what? I learned a long time ago that when you give into missions, God blesses you at home. Do you know, a farmer will not sow and plant in one field and then sit and wait for the harvest. What does he do? He sows and plants in one field and then goes and works in another field. That's what missions is about. Missions isn't just about, okay, well, we're planting, so we're just going to plant and we're going to wait. No, no, no. We wait for the harvest in that field and we work in another field at the same time. And missions is another field where we bless the nations. And I know from personal experience that if you sow into missions, God will bless you. Sometimes people say to me, well, if I give like this and if I'm sacrificial and I do this and I do that, who's going to meet my needs? What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Jesus said it, read it. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to the end of the chapter is all about dealing with worry. It's all about dealing with the attitude. It's a mindset. Trust me. If you have a struggle in your finances, get your mindset changed. Give to God, honor God with your finances, and you will see him bless you. Over many years, our finances have never made sense. They've never made sense, honestly. But God has always met needs. God has always met needs because we made a decision a very long time ago that we would sow into missions. Honestly, this is not obligation. This is not pressure. It's not. So please hear my heart in this. I know from personal experience how God blesses, and I want you to be blessed. I want you to receive all that God has for you. And I know this is an area where we have to let go and trust God. Finances is key in that area. So let's sow into missions. So as we come to finish, I want you to think about my own sequence of thoughts really today. What does it take for us as a church to do the will of God? I think it requires insight into our season. For you individually as well, but for us as a church, it requires insight into our season. I think for us, it's a season to plant. Prayerfully, that's what I've looked at. I believe that's what God's saying. I hope it's a witness in your spirit as well that you believe that that's right. What does that mean? We can plant by sowing to the Spirit. We can plant by sowing to leadership. We can plant by sowing to children's and families ministry. We can plant by sowing to mission, both here and in the nation. That's why we'll be doing our Easter outreach once again. We want to plant those seeds. We want to sow those seeds. Here's a question we need to ask ourselves. It's a personal question. How is the soil of your heart? How is the soil of your heart? Is it ready to receive? Is it ready to receive the seeds of the Word of God? Is it on rocky ground? Or is it on that good ground that can produce the harvest of righteousness that God desires? It's all about the preparation of our heart. It's always back to our heart, and we'll explain that a little bit more. How is the soil of my heart? Where can I celebrate what God is doing? There are many things you can celebrate God's doing in your life. We had communion this morning. we can celebrate God's grace. Communion is a great leveler. We're all the same. We all stand in need of God's grace. No one is any better. We all need God's grace. You can celebrate God's grace. In fact, the writer of the Hebrews says, it's good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. Where can you celebrate what God's doing? What can I do to allow God to bring change? Maybe as you have sat here this morning, maybe the Holy Spirit has challenged you in some area. Maybe a mindset, maybe an attitude. Maybe you know there's areas of your life that are rocky ground. Maybe you know there's areas of your heart where you have kind of said, it's okay, God, I'll deal with this one. And it's like Hosea 10:12, where it talks about it's fallow, unplowed ground. Scripture says that we need to come back to God and allow Him to plow up the fallow ground of our hearts and sow righteousness that we can reap that harvest. What do we need to allow God to do? And then here's the most important thing. How will I start? Not the person beside you. Not someone you think, oh, so-and-so's not here today. They really need that message. We're good at that, aren't we? How will you start? How will you allow yourself to break up that fallow ground? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the many things that we can celebrate today, bringing people into membership, new areas of ministry that we're going to develop and lead into. Father, we thank you for the people that you've brought us. We can celebrate that. But Lord, we also know that you want us to plant, that you want us to plant deep roots, and that as we do, your word says that we will flourish, that we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that we will flourish in season. And Lord, we want to be a church that flourishes in season. So we pray, Lord Jesus, would you come and just help us to deal with our hearts. Help us to deal with the soil of our hearts. That as a church, that as individuals, we'd be ready to receive all the seeds that you have for us. Seeds of destiny. Seeds of direction. Seeds of dominion. In the areas of our life where we need to rule and reign. Lord, would you help us, we pray. Help us to plant. God's people said it. Amen. Amen.